Hello, friends.
Hey, mamas.
Welcome to My Invisible Disease Podcast. We are here to share our struggles and hacks as two moms living with chronic illness.
Tune in and join our community as we share stories and experiences while we sort through the ups and downs of living with invisible disease.
Hey, Cassie.
Hey, girl.
How's it going today?
It's going. We just had such a busy weekend, and the Oilers are in playoffs, so our entire city is exhausted.
I've been watching, kind of jealous, because I remember living in Edmonton years and years ago and being part of the playoffs. In fact, cool. That was like the rowdy, man, how I can't even remember.
It was 2006,
okay,
and it was rowdy, and
we hung out on the streets of Edmonton for like, yeah.
For that whole week. That's when Jesse and I first met, actually, back in Oilers playoffs.
Oh, I mean, so funny.
He ended up like taking home my friend that night, but like, whatever.
Oh my God.
That's fine.
Yeah.
We've moved on since then.
Oh my God. I wonder, was I dating Ryan? I don't think I was at the time, but
I think you were.
Maybe you know what? You're right. Maybe I was. Oh man, so long ago. Yeah, actually, I think he met me out at the bar one night, and I had another girlfriend that was on like the cover of the news, drenched head to toe in beer, presumably, like on someone's
shoulder. I remember this. Yeah. We don't need to say her name, but I do remember this.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, it was a fun time. So now that I'm old and it's many years later, it's just bringing back old memories.
Well, and to top that off, Mackenzie's fourth birthday party was rock and roll themed. So
cool.
As you can imagine, having a four-year-old with a microphone blasting rock music, it was so loud.
We did do, actually, I think someone got the kids a karaoke set for Christmas. Mm. And it was actually like super fun, but occasionally it comes out and it can be loud is a good description.
When people give like ignorant gifts for like children's birthdays, like my sister-in-law was laughing. She's like, I just really knew that you needed 30 glitter glues. Like, you're welcome. Have fun. And I cannot wait to repay her with something super obnoxious for the boys. So if you have any great recommendations, let me know.
Oh, I do. We had a girlfriend, her son had a birthday, and as part of the goodie bags, she sent recorders home with all of those. It was like, no! So there was no training. You know, when they come home from elementary school, at least they're practicing at school and they might have a song. This was just a recorder in a goodie bag, and woof. Yeah.
So rude.
Yeah.
Kate,
so funny.
We have not had like a catch-up episode in a while because we have been so busy like interviewing all of these incredible people.
Yeah. And really, I think it has just brought it even more to the forefront that there are so many people struggling with invisible disease and you wouldn't even know. And some of these stories are, you know, stories that aren't shared regularly with the general public. And it's just been a really powerful experience, I think, for us. And hopefully, you know, for some of our listeners to be able to relate or resonate with some of the topics we've been talking about.
Well, it's definitely like hitting home for a lot of people. Like when we were driving out to the cabin a couple weeks ago and you sent me the voice memo from that lady with the Southern accent. Oh my God. It made my day. Just her talking about how, you know, she sees herself in a number of these episodes and she feels recognized. Oh, and I loved her accent. So maybe we should have her on the show.
I think so. And that really is, you know, if you are a listener and you have a short story to share, check out our website at myinvisibledisease.com. We do have an application there for guesting on the show if you have a story to share.
Yeah. And make sure you follow us on Instagram too, because we're trying to build a bit of a community there as well. People are sliding into the DMs, sending us messages, and it's so cool to see it from kind of all over the place. But this has been really fun. I've really, really enjoyed meeting all of these people and hearing about all their stories. And yeah, gives me the warm fuzzies.
Warm fuzzies. I agree. So let's kind of do our catch up. Like, how have things been for you lately, Cassie? Where are you at?
Where are we at? Okay. Hold on. Rewind. Where are we at? Okay. So I think the last episode that we aired, I was kind of in the dot, dot, dot. So waiting on a scan. So for those of you who are maybe just tuning in, I had a autoimmune disease that affected my mobility mostly. So a ton of inflammation. I did a whole episode on it, but long story short, I was in pretty bad shape. I could hardly walk. I was having a hard time getting on and off the toilet, like literally couldn't stand because my body was just so full of inflammation. So once they put me on a pretty rigorous drug rehab, is that the word I'm looking for? Yeah. I don't know. I was taking a lot of drugs, not the fun kind, the fun kind that just makes your face really fat and your hair fall out and, you know, kind of highlights what a egomaniac you are and how shallow you are, because it was a hard pill to swallow, to say the least, with the prednisone repercussions. But I'm tapering off of them. I am now down to like one prednisone a day. Oh shit, I forgot to take my meds. I'll do that after. So, and like within the next month, I should be totally off of them, but my face is thinning out again. My hair is coming back. So that's very exciting, but we are getting closer to a diagnosis. So they have diagnosed me with sarcoidosis, which is a autoimmune disease that is basically like the granulomas, like the clusters of inflammation that like attack organs such as your lungs. Lungs is where it typically starts. Mine was kind of all over the place, so it was pretty hard to figure out what it was at first. But the good news is it might go away on its own. The other news is it might come back. It might be in and out. Who knows? It can be triggered by basically anything, a virus, yeah, fatigue. Like it can. There's a lot of things that can kind of bump it back into high gear. So I don't know.
I think for anyone listening, there is a little bit of reassurance in your story of going from that place, though, that you were in over the summer where you had lost a lot of your mobility, and that seeking treatment has really helped you and been able to bring you back to not necessarily like full functioning life, but an alternative to that and kind of finding a new normal. Because, you know, just seeing as you start to taper off some of the meds, like your energy levels come back up, your mobility come back. I mean, definitely, I think, of course, with chronic illness, it's a long term. You have to watch yourself, right? You watch what you eat. You have to watch how much sleep you get. There's a lot of things that we really need to be a lot more cautious about. But man, it really does inspire quite a bit of hope just being able to see kind of where you're at now compared to where you were.
Well, like I said, like we had a pretty exhausting weekend and I am pooped. Like Mackenzie didn't go to daycare today until like 10 o'clock because I was just like, no, it's okay, honey. You can just watch like one more episode of Bluey. Mommy's just going to nap and then I'll take you to daycare. But it's on the mend. Like people are saying like, oh, how are you feeling? I'm like, I don't know. I feel like a almost normal human, but I'm also now like super paranoid because for the first time in months and months, I have aches and pains again. Like I have normal inflammation. So, you know, I'm so used to like analyzing every single thing that now here I am like, okay, wait, am I sore because now I'm sick, or am I sore because I push myself and my muscles aren't used to being used? So finding the balance and understanding what's of concern and what's not. So,
and honestly, I think with autoimmune, that is so normal of if I'm going to eat this, like, is this something that is going to get a reaction? Or, you know, am I feeling sick because I ate something, or am I feeling sick because I overdid it, or do I just have a cold? Like, it's really difficult sometimes when there's not a lot of information out there or a lot of answers, and you have to navigate your own way by listening to your body, knowing where those boundaries are of when to react and when you can kind of take it easy.
Yeah. So that'll be something I need to figure out, because otherwise I just feel like a bit of a whiner. I'm like, oh, I'm sore and I'm so tired. I'm like, am I a mom or is it coming back? I don't know. But they'll monitor it. Like, I get the monthly blood work and all that kind of stuff done. So I guess we just have to wait and see how it goes.
And so is that the last of the prednisone? Are you still on the immune shots or?
Yeah, so the methotrexate I am still taking. However, I found that I was getting like a ton of anxiety with like taking the needles. I was dreading it. I was pushing it off. I wasn't taking it when I was supposed to because I just hated it. And it's not that it just sucked. It sucked. I hated it. I hated it shooting up in the kitchen. I hated the burning sensation after. I hated being nauseous after. So I actually asked my doctor to switch me to the oral. So I just did that yesterday. So it's 4 pills in the morning and 4 pills in the evening on the same day. I was definitely nauseous in the morning, but I had like 4 grapes for breakfast. So it's probably part of the problem.
Was it the hunger or was it the meds?
Exactly. Well, I was like, oh, I don't feel good. I'm going to eat. And then I ate and I was like feeling better. So although it doesn't say eat with food, I think that I should.
Yeah.
And so we'll see how that goes. I'm just glad to be taking a break from the injections because I was just...
I totally get that. When I was doing my injections, my long-acting octreotide, they had to put it in the top quarter of my buttocks, and it was a deep muscle injection, and it was a 10-gauge needle, so the same as like an ear-piercing needle. It was so big and probably 2 inches long. The amount of anxiety I had going into that, and at one point I had to get 2 at a time.
Oh my God.
I actually had a nurse that worked in public health. So she was used to giving vaccines, flu shots. She said she did it for years. And then she happened to start working in my doctor's office. And she said, this is the first time I've had anxiety the day before giving injections because the needle was so big. But it truly caused me grief. And finally, when we realized it wasn't working, I was able to come off of it. But I can relate, like that needle, when you're that extra anxiety, it adds a layer to a treatment. Is it detrimental? I don't know.
I'm really good at procrastinating. Like if I don't want to do something, like I will find any reason not to. Like, oh, I'll just do it tomorrow.
Well, so technically we could have trained Ryan to do it at home, but it caused me so much anxiety. And the same thing, I would have delayed or skipped, taken any excuse not to take it. So by booking a doctor's appointment and having to go in to get the nurse to inject it, I having to do it in your kitchen. I don't know.
Yeah. So my needle is like really little and short, so it's definitely less dramatic, but I'm just a big pussy. So anyways, we're trying the oral. And by the sounds of it, I'm probably going to have to be on this medication for like ever and ever. Amen. Mm-hmm. So I would just really like to not have something so shitty to look forward to every week. So hopefully this works out.
Yeah. Yeah. I will be rooting for you for that.
And what about you? I know you had a doctor's appointment last week. How did that go?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess last time we shared where we were at with our health journey. I had just received some devastating news from my transplant team. So just to refresh people's memories, I have kidney and liver disease, and I'm actually listed for transplant, for liver transplant. So, you know, it was the stress of, you know, is this ever going to happen? Am I ever going to find anyone to donate? Is there ever going to be a match? Amazingly, that happened. We found people to step up to get tested, found people that were matches. And then in January, so a few months ago, the team decided based on my most recent scans that maybe a live donor wasn't the best for my safety.
Okay, wait, and why?
I still don't know. The results I got was it's going to be very complicated to remove my liver. It's so full of cysts. And actually, I think we talked about fascia and adhesions. There's always worry that the cysts have like attached themselves to other parts of my innards. And it can be really complicated removing a polycystic liver. It can be really time consuming. Like it's an extensive surgery. So I'm thinking, because it also blows up my anatomy. So my liver takes up so much space that vessels are like far apart.
Right.
I'm thinking it's the combination of how long it's going to take to get my liver out. And with a cadaver liver, because it's a full size liver, it can be a little bit more plug and play when they put it in. It's a little bit less complicated to, you know, attach all the vessels and ducts and different things that are needed, where with a live donor, I'm only receiving a portion of an organ. And so they have to actually like graft some extra attachments so that the live donor has all the pieces they need and that my body has all the pieces I need to make that liver function. And that's a more time consuming process. So I think it's possibly like complications in time. And then also potentially like the size of the actual organ itself would be bigger with a full size liver.
Right.
So that was, honestly, I don't know if anyone can relate to this, but once I got that news, I somewhat hermited from my transplant team. So I'm still going for my monthly blood work. I don't have another CT for another few or MRI for another couple months. And I just kind of put it in the drawer or on the back burner. So that was a really hard hit just because I was so strongly in the belief that we're going to make this happen. So for them to kind of pull that out from under my feet. And of course, you know, it's not like it's intentional. It's not like they were trying to upset me or hurt me. It's just science.
Right. But, well, there's definitely more risks that come to play when you are open for a longer period of time, right?
Absolutely. Like, that's where that time, because I mean, you think about the doctors being exhausted, you think about how long you're under anesthesia and how much they have to give you. You also have to have, interestingly enough, they actually paralyze your body so that there's no movement when they're doing these transplants. So that's part of the anesthetist's job is to navigate how long you have to be in that paralyzed state and like to make it safe for the doctors to be using those tools. And there's a lot of factors. I really have been disconnected though, because I was really devastated and I think I've been avoiding it. I've had some time to get over it. So I'll probably be reaching out and connecting with my transplant team because of appointments and different things coming up here. But on top of my liver transplant team, I also have my kidney team. So I'm not at the stage of needing a transplant at this point for my kidneys. But, you know, news is I've lost a lot of kidney function over the last year. So we're kind of monitoring that now. So it's not crazy. One thing, it's another.
Okay. So if you could help my ignorant brain here, say tragically somebody succumbs to major injuries. Now, can that same donor give you liver and kidneys, or do you have to go, like, how does that work? Can they do one stop shop?
Potentially, you know, for a case of someone that does need a double transplant, like myself, eventually I will, that could be the case. It's more so about timing. So the biggest concern I would say is with kidney function and kidneys, when you do get a kidney transplant, there's a lifetime to that transplanted kidney. So typically they'll wait till you're in full kidney failure. It's always best to keep your own organ until you don't need to, for many reasons, you know, the anti-rejection drugs, the meds, the trauma on the body, the function. If my kidneys are functioning, it's going to be better having them than a transplanted organ. And then the other thing is, you know, a transplanted kidney might only last 10 years in your body. So then you'll have to get another one. Or, you know, there's a lifetime, where with liver transplant, it's like a one-stop shop. Like my mom's had her liver transplant for, you know, 25 years, and it is a happy, happy organ in her body, and she's never had trouble with it, right? And she'll die with that organ rather than of that organ. So, you know, a liver, because it's such a resilient organ, can be transplanted and you can keep that new liver forever. Kidneys, unfortunately, have a timeline to them. So really, a lot of people get listed when they're under 10%, I think more so like under 8 or 6% function. I think my mom had her transplant at 3 or 4% function of her kidneys. So you can get really low before mm-hmm. they'll move you off. And of course, there's dialysis, which is a whole other piece of that puzzle. It happens. Absolutely, it happens. I think often because people need the kidney and then the liver with our disease, they do the liver at the same time. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that would ever be the case for my body, though.
Man, you're dealing with some heavy shit. Like, how have you been? I'm fine.
Yeah. Because it's not in my face day to day. I mean, in some aspects of like energy levels and of course, like functioning with chronic illness, it is. But the actual transplant heaviness, I don't think about it.
That helps. Ignoring my problems really helps me not deal with them.
Yeah. And I wouldn't even say, okay, I have been ignoring my transplant team. I mean, not that they've been reaching out, but ignoring myself advocating and reaching out. But I think I just know there's an inevitability and then I'm okay with it. And then it just doesn't affect my day-to-day living. My energy levels and pain and different chronic issues like that are more in my face day-to-day rather than like a looming surgery. And I also go back to thinking like people go through this shit every day. And
totally,
you know, there's crack stents or major surgeries or hip replacements. Like if I'm going to be worried about surgery, you know, there's a lot of other things I can be thinking about. Yeah.
More productive uses of your time.
More productive of even just my mental space. Yes.
I think it kind of circles back to, it's been a really nice distraction from our problems, listening to all of these other ladies that have had, you know, so many crazy things. Do you remember Holly?
Yes.
And the shit she went through?
Puts life in perspective.
You're like, it could be worse. I'm fine. It could be worse. Like one day she was fine, and the next day she was paralyzed in the hospital for like, what would she say? I don't know. Over 3 months.
With a newborn baby.
Completely paralyzed. Like just craziness. Mm-hmm. So this podcast has been so nice for us to not only distract ourselves, but just kind of keep us in check. Like, you know what? It could be worse. There's people living with such insane conditions that could be worse.
Well, and in addition to that, I think it's nice to have a space where when you're sharing stories like this, that maybe aren't conversations you're having with your friends and family on a regular basis, because you don't want to be the, oh, woe is me, or the complainer, or be almost preaching to a choir that doesn't get it. When you can share your story around other people that can resonate or understand or relate to at least some of the things you go through, it's therapeutic. And I feel, you know, it's people that are listening with a more open ear because they find connection in that shared experience. And that, I think, has been really powerful too, because I'm in interested because I can think about like, how would I feel? Where I think day to day, really healthy people are often really ignorant to health issues until it happens to them.
Oh, totally. Like back in the olden days, you know, last year when I was taking my health for complete granted, you know, eating whatever, whenever, ignoring it. Okay, I haven't been a drinker for a long time, but you know, like just indulging in everything and not really understanding it. I would see people that were, you know, not overly like high performance, if you will. And there's always kind of like a little bit of judgment in the back, like, I don't know, why can't you come and do this school activity or do this, that, and the other thing? I can do it. You can do it. Well, it makes more sense because, you know, the invisible disease, you have no idea what people are going through. So
it definitely, there's a lot more compassion and empathy when you're experiencing something because you know that there's always a story. You know that what's going on behind closed doors, you're not privy to. So it's often much deeper than face value. And in addition to that, the strength that comes with it for someone that has to deal with that, that is still showing up in their own lives, It's actually like amazing to see such strong women that are living with their invisible disease, not being necessarily crushed by it.
Yeah. I love it. I love this podcast. I think we've been doing such a good job. I'm going to pat us on the back here because I think we're onto something. I don't know.
I love the cheer team for ourselves.
Yeah. Everybody needs to take a minute and cheer for themselves because like we said, if it's one thing or another, everybody has their own shit going on. And I'm just so glad that we've got to connect with a bunch of people from far and wide.
Totally. So then, Cassie, I'm going to ask you where you're at right now, because we do this with all of our interviews. You're basically your Mary Fuck Kill or your, I can't remember what the other one was. But
one day we will remember this. So Mary Cheat Screw, is that what it is?
Yeah. Mary Cheat Screw. Oh, good. You got it.
Okay. So Mary, my tried and true, is always Instacart. I tell everybody that I know how much I love Instacart. Not going to the grocery store is like the best thing in the world. I think I've been in like the last 2 years, I've probably gone grocery shopping like 3 times. And it's because I want to like look at shoes or pick up rubber boots or something. Like I have no reason to go to the grocery store. So Instacart, 110%.
And just because I'm in an area that does not have it, basically it's a grocery delivery service, correct?
Yeah. Okay. So you go on the app on your phone. You might be able to do it online. I don't know. I just use the app on my phone and I open it up and literally there's a list and it's like, buy it again. And I can go through and just order everything I ordered last week because we pretty much only eat the same crap over and over again and have all my grocery shopping done in like 5 minutes. Then they text you when they're there. And if they're out of something, then they'll take pictures and be like, hey, what do you want for a replacement? It is the best thing ever.
All right. So then your cheat or indulgence.
Oh, what's my indulgence? Probably another lazy person hack. There's a trend coming over here. I don't like to do anything for myself. No, the other hack I would probably say is Inspired Go. And you don't have access to this either. I don't know where all they deliver to, but I know it's in Edmonton.
It's all major cities, I'm sure.
I would assume so. But they are pre-portioned, delicious salads that get sent to your house. So it's just like in a container and everything is in there and it's delicious salads. And it's actually pretty affordable. I was shocked.
Oh, I have seen you eating those on your Instagram.
I know, because I like throw them on the front seat of the car. Like the real estate market is heating up. It is spring market right now. I'm not at home every day to make myself lunch. So having something quick and easy, like in my car, 10 out of 10 recommend.
Well, and on the go, I mean, where we live, obviously we're really minimal choices because we're in a small town. But when you're on the go, be able to have a healthy option, it's hard. So yeah, that's great.
Oh, I mean, as much as I would love to just live off of coffee, like I do most of the time, like my body needs to be prioritized and I need to eat healthy food. Otherwise, I'm just going to end up fucking sick again. So Here's me being a grown up and taking care of myself.
And then what would your screw, your kill be? What are you over right
what
now?
What is my kill? What am what's I over right
what's
now?
What's changed for you? Like what? I know you, I can't remember what your old kill was, but
I'm over prednisone. I fucking hate it. Mm-hmm. That's all. That's literally the only thing I hate.
Good. You know what? Because you're weaning off of it, girl.
I know. I'm over prednisone. And the only thing I can do is be like, hey, I'm almost done. It's giving me a light at the end of the tunnel. I just feel like once I'm off of it, I'll just I don't know. I don't know what's really going to change. I have no idea what's going to change once I'm completely off of it. I mean, last time I went off of it, shit hit the fan and I got way sicker. But I'm not thinking about that. I just hate prednisone and I don't want to be on it anymore. So,
well, and kill I think it. Having something to look forward to, like a light at the end of the tunnel, is important.
True.
On that note, do you have any like summer plans, anything fun that you're looking forward to coming up?
Absolutely, I do. Not this week, but next week, my husband is taking me to Vancouver to see the one and only Shania Twain in concert.
Amazing.
And I can't wait.
Yeah, that's going to be so fun. Awesome.
I can't wait.
Well, stay tuned, guys, and we are looking forward to hearing from some of our listeners. If you're interested in being on the podcast or if you have a story to share, check out our Instagram, and you can connect with us there and share your story as well.
Thanks for tuning in, guys. Hey, girl, we see you. And we want you to join our community where we can connect and continue the conversation.
Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at My Invisible Disease Podcast, because no one should go through this alone.
Thank you for listening. And for links, resources, or show notes, you can check us out at myinvisibledisease.com.
Once a week, make some kind of broth. So whether that's a veggie potassium broth or a chicken broth or a bone broth, I use my Instant Pot and it is so convenient. I stick it in there for 2 hours in the pressure cooker and it's as if it sat in a slow cooker for like 12 plus hours. So it saves me so much time and it's so convenient just to be able to grab that broth and sip on it throughout the day.
Okay, I have an Instant Pot and I have not made broth yet, but I actually want to get into it. I'm going to get into it. Give me the recipe.
Yes,
maybe we should share the recipe.
In the show notes, I'll add my recipe for my bone broth as well. You check out the links. If you don't have an Instant Pot, we'll put a link down there to get it.
Good idea.